is going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieved stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with Mike Sugars of the band Vatican over Zoom video. Mike was born and raised in Indiana, and he talks about how he got into music. Around the time Guitar Hero came out, he started to get into more heavy sounding bands like Evergreen Terrace and As I Lay Dying. Around this same time, he started going to his first like hardcore shows and immediately knew that's what he wanted to be doing. So when he'd get home from school, he was in like 11th grade, he'd get home from school, go in his garage, just turn up some heavy music and try to sing along as loud as he could. After doing that for a bit of time, he found some other guys and started his first band. He talked about the very first show they played. He eventually moved to Columbus, Ohio, joined another band, did that for a while. And as that band was starting to dissolve around mid-2020 after the pandemic had hit, he thought he was going to just give up music and work a normal job. He ends up getting a call like 2 weeks later from Vatican asking him to join their band. They're already a bit established, but they needed a new singer. Mike went to Savannah, Georgia, auditioned for the band, and then became the new singer of Vatican. We talk about joining the band and how it was to play those initial shows, being the new singer, the new front guy, putting out the two-song EP they did in 2021. We talked about the tour they're currently on and all about the new record, which is called Ultra. You can watch the interview with Mike of Vatican on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be awesome if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it would be amazing if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're bringing it backwards with Vatican. Cool, man. Awesome. You're Mike, correct?
Yes. And you are Adam.
You're just on Thomas's iPad.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just making sure. I'm like, that looks like him. But sometimes I get myself confused.
We're on our way to the venue for our show tonight. And we're like kind of close, but it was just kind of like, I need a mobile option that isn't my phone. So
all good, man. No. Cool. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Now, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I woke up like an hour ago. We our driver's side window of our van like fell last night. Just for no reason while I was driving. I was up till 5 a.m. trying to fix that. And I think it's just the motor for the electric window that just kind of went bad. So that's something we're going to have to take care of.
Oh, man, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Wow. Where are you guys at right now? Like, what city are you in?
We are in Virginia Beach. And tonight we play Elevation 27.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm seeing that now on your tour schedule. That's rad.
Yeah, I've never played the venue, so I'm stoked. I don't think I've been to Virginia Beach since like 2017, I think. So I'm excited.
Very cool, man. Very cool. Well, this is about you and your journey in music, and we'll talk about the band and the new record.
Of course, yeah. I don't know if I'm a wealth of information, but I definitely have info.
Rad. So the band started in Savannah, Georgia. Is that what I read?
Yeah, band started in Savannah, Georgia before I was ever in it. And that would be around like 2015 when the band started getting like first EPs and like first shows and stuff out of the way.
Okay. So what year did you end up joining the band?
I ended up joining in the fall of 2020. And then like my first release with the band was in April of 2021. So okay. I'm still new to some people. Like even last night, whenever we were playing, we're on this tour with Spite right now, and we did an off day headliner in South Carolina. And even there, I still had some people kind of like coming up to me and being like, you know, like the old singer really liked him, but you know what? I think I do like you in the band. I'm like, I've been here for a year and a half.
No, that's, I can imagine that being such a hard role to play. You know, you have to kind of come into a band that already had something going on a little bit, and then you have to take the place. Not only you're new in this band, but you got to be the front guy, right? You got to be the sing. You're a sing. You got to, you know, work the crowd. And if people are used to seeing someone else, they might be like, "Oh, well, what? Wait, what's going on?"
Right. Yeah. And you know, as with like any band, especially with the front person of any band, it's always such like a big attachment thing for like the casual listener or people who are just diehards. So I was definitely nervous about that in particular. Like that's, and I was very open about that with the other guys while I was doing it. I was just like, I hope people like me. I hope I don't come in and people are like, "Stude ruined this band." Like, you know, stuff.
I mean,
like
yeah,
that.
It's always got to be in the back of your mind, I would think.
I mean,
not anymore, but when you first started is what I meant.
Yeah, definitely when we first started with me in the band, I was worried about that a lot. I'm not really anymore. Actually, we did see one comment on Lamb Goat a couple weeks ago. Someone was like, "New vocalist sounds like he does vocal covers in his bedroom. The cool days of this band are done." And I just thought it was hilarious.
Well, that's good. At least you can laugh at it. That's funny.
Yeah. At this point now, like, you know, some good time into it, I feel like I have ownership of my role in the band. So I'm like, I'm not really worried about it as much anymore.
Yeah, for sure. Well, are you originally from Georgia as well? Or are you from a different spot of the country?
I am a Midwest boy.
Okay. Where are you born and raised?
Born and raised Indianapolis, Indiana. And then I'm kind of running a circuit on Midwestern main cities right now. So I lived in Indianapolis. Then I lived in Columbus, Ohio for like five, six years. Now I live in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So oh, no, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, how long were you in how long were you in Indiana? And then when did you move to Columbus?
I was in Indiana until I was like 23.
Oh, so you spent the majority of your life there then?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we'll stay on that for a second. So yeah. Born and raised there. Talk to me about that a little bit. And then how did you get into music?
I grew up in a town. So I say born and raised Indianapolis, but really I grew up 30 minutes south of it. But I grew up in a town called Martinsville. Mm-hmm. And it's like a little rural community, but it's still technically considered a city. There's still like 20 some thousand people that live there. But there's a lot of like rural county just around the city. Mm-hmm. So I had a decently sized high school. I graduated with a class of like 300 people. So it's like pretty big comparatively to some people. And whenever I was like in middle school, you know, Guitar Hero was starting to come out and stuff like that. So like that definitely was starting to like have a bit of an influence on me and think like typical things like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and stuff like that. Like those kinds of soundtracks, like I was getting into. But particularly I remember my freshman year, I had a science class with this dude, James, that was one grade above me. So he was a sophomore. And he saw that I was like listening to like some songs that I was hearing from like the Guitar Hero track. Like one was like Six by All That Remains. And and I liked that song. I didn't know any other songs by them or almost any other artist that was like even adjacent to them or anything. And he was just like, "Let me show you some stuff." So he showed me stuff like Evergreen Terrorist, As I Lay Dying, The Worst Prada, Under Oath. We just start moving down the list of like a lot of big hitters for like 2007. Mm-hmm. And and I just kind of took off from there. As I Lay Dying was like my thing for many years at the time. And so it was like Bring Me the Horizon, like, you know, when they were still screaming and stuff. I still like New Bring Me a lot. but like particularly back then I was like, this is the best band ever. And I was also getting into like some deathcore stuff like Whitechapel, Despised Icon, Through the Eyes of the Dead, Knights of the Abyss, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I was a little all over the spectrum of heavy music at the time. And I was just talking to someone last night, actually, about how I missed that feeling that I didn't even know I had at the time, of just taking anything and everything. I have no preconceived notion about a band or anything. It's just either, is it dope or is it not? Do I like it or do I not?
Right.
So that was a super fun time. And it felt like my whole, like, I don't know, my whole world was just like constantly like budding with like new stuff I was getting into. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. But then of course, like I was like, particularly with, like some of those bands, I was just like, dude, I want to do this. Like, so I started going to like some of my first shows.
Who was the first big, yeah, who was, well, I was going to ask you that. Go ahead. Sorry. As I cut you off, as you're answering the question, I was going to ask you.
No, you're cool. So one of the first big shows I ever saw in the genre, it was Amir, All Shall Perish, Winds of Plague. I want to say Suicide Silence is on there, but I think that's wrong. I think I'm thinking of a Suicide Silence Bury Your Dead tour.
Okay.
But the opener was The Ghost Inside on their first record.
Wow.
And I had no idea who they were or anything. So they, you know, they're playing Fury and the Fallen Ones, and I am just kind of like blown away. I'm like, whoa, what was that? And that was my first core adjacent band in like the hardcore community, that I had ever listened to. So from there I started like really digging in deeper and started finding things like Misery Signals, you know, then other things that are adjacent to that, even like Shy Halud, you can find a list. I was already kind of there with Evergreen Terrace, but I just didn't know. So yeah, that was like my first big one. And at the time I was like already way big into like Winds of Plague, All Shall Perish, and The Mirror. So I was like stoked, and I just found this new band. And so yeah, from there I was like, you know what, I'm going to try this. I'm going to like, I guess I'm going to learn how to scream. And my dad had a separate garage unattached from our house. And in that garage, he really had it done up. It was a bar. It had like a surround sound entertainment system, all this stuff. Wow. And I would just go, I always had like an hour or two home alone after school. So I would close the garage doors and I would just like put in music, like CDs that I owned, like, and it would be like things from like Azalea Dying to Black Dahlia to Bring Me the Horizon, a lot of just like scene bands at the time. And I just taught myself how to scream. And I started my first bands. And then come like going into my junior year, the summer going between sophomore and junior years, when I started my first band. And we played some shows. We were really bad. It was awesome. And
we played some shows. We were really bad. But yeah, you must have loved it, right?
It was awesome. It was so cool. And I remember my first show. It's so funny. My first show I ever played, I played in front of like 300 people. It was this like,
wow.
It was like a summer vacation has began like show of some sort that, our guitar player Cole had a hand in putting on. And it was in the fairgrounds, of Martinsville. It was pretty close to the high school. So it was literally like, everyone got out of school on the last day and just went to the fairgrounds.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, like looking back, because now that I know like how these things go and how hard it is to put people in a room just in general, I'm just like, how the fuck did you pull that off? Like, right. Like you're a 17-year-old kid and all of a sudden like you're just like, I'm just gonna do this thing and like hopefully people come. And it's like a literal shit ton of people came, and it was cool. Again, we were horrible. We were a bad band, but like there were other bands on it as well. And yeah,
were they all heavy? Like, were they like as heavy as your band was, or were you guys came out like, and then everyone else is not as
There was one band that was like kind of heavy along with us. But for the most part, it was like just some like typical like high school, like, I don't know, punk rock bands.
Sure.
You know, stuff like that. Also all, you know, probably pretty bad by comparison or whatever. but it was cool. Like, you know, my first show experience, I'm like, holy, is this what it's like? And I'm like, no, right. It's not what it's like at all.
So did you play in that band through high school? And then like you said at 23, you eventually moved to Columbus. Was that, what was the reason, or like, how did you get from then Indiana to Columbus, and what was the reason behind that move?
Right. So I played in that band for a little while. I probably played in it up through my junior year. So like, I think it was just under a year. And, from there, I joined a different band, and this was like the band, looking back, I'm like, oh, this is the band that set me on the path kind of thing. I joined this band from Indianapolis called They Say Redeemer, and none of these guys went to my school. These were just people I had met through playing shows. So I joined this band, They Say Redeemer. I'm replacing a singer, and granted, it's just local band thing, you know, whereas Vatican, it's like I replaced a band that had like had experience on the road and stuff and already an established fan base, whereas locally it's just, you know, whatever. But
right, yeah, exactly.
So I was in that band throughout my whole senior year, and also pretty bad. But from there, the guys that were in that band with me went on to, it was called Conquerors, which then eventually became this band called Church Tongue. And I mean, through all that, it's like where I got like my first like bits of touring experience, like doing like some Midwest stuff, some East Coast stuff. We even did like a full US as Conquerors. I don't know if you're familiar with that band Left Behind, but we did like a full like 2 month long US tour with them.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, this is awesome. I'm like 21, 22. And then around 23. So moving to Ohio was kind of like an on a whim decision, because we like, a lot of us lived at our guitar player Nico's house, and like, we were just kind of chilling. But and the way it worked is basically everyone's getting ready to split apart in this moving space. We're not going to live here anymore kind of thing. Our friend Justin from Columbus comes over. Justin and my other friend Jeff, they come over for a weekend just to casually kind of hang out. It's like a 3-hour drive. So like, you know, if you're down, you're down kind of thing. And Justin gets a call at maybe like 11:30 at night. And basically the short of it is that five of his roommates are getting ready to move out. He has this, essentially it's this house that is like band guy frat house in a way.
That's cool.
And it's actually like a lot of the dudes from like the original Attack lineup that started this house. It's had a couple rotations of different people that lived there. It was like dudes from Attack, like Moss of Flames, Ford a Day, Beartooth, couple others.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just kind of rotated over time until like, you know, guys stopped being broke or whatever the situation was.
If they started making a little money, they moved out, and then another band type dude moved in.
Yeah, they're like, guys, I've moved on into the upper echelon. I can now afford more than $150 a month.
Right. You know? I got my own studio or one bedroom. I'm out of here.
Exactly. So like, you know, some guys are moving out, and Justin comes back into the other room, and he's just like, so I know you guys have like your own situation kind of going. And I know that's ending soon. Here's a thing that just happened. How do we feel about this? And just on a whim, and like, you know, me and a couple of the guys from Church Tongue, we moved over to Columbus, Ohio, and I loved it. And, you know, from there it was kind of like, Church Tongue stopped being based in Indianapolis necessarily, because then he moved pretty close to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And everybody else was in Columbus. So from then on, we were just like, oh, we're Church Tongue from the Midwest. And, you know, we went out and we toured as much as we could. And like, you know, we definitely like were out there a lot. The band was never really big and we never really caught on with people. We were just trying to pretty much exist until people decided, okay, we're going to care about them. Mm-hmm. But then the pandemic hit. And during the pandemic, of course, you know, we're not doing anything. We're like prepping to like do another release that we had just recorded in like 2019. And we're just waiting for that to come in. It took a little while for the record to actually come back to us. And during that time, Nico, he makes his way into a different band, a big time. So we're of course like, dude, please go. You've got your opportunity, run with it. And I was like, okay, I think I am out, you know. Now I'm, you know, I'm older. I'm right now I'm 29. So at the time I'm like 27, 28. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, you've got your shot. Like, go. Like, and the rest of us will still play like when we can, you know. But other than that, like I think we've done our work here. So I was like, I'm just gonna get a job or something. And about 2 weeks later, that's when Vatican reaches out to me.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah. So it just all lined up. You know, if they had reached out to me, you know, maybe even 2 or 3 weeks earlier, I may have been like, nah, we're still doing stuff, just waiting on the next thing to come in, stuff like that. But mm-hmm. it all just kind of, it just lined up perfectly. And then even whenever like I first like went down to Savannah to meet up with the band, it clicked very much so. And it was like, yeah, we have a perfect fit here. Like there's a great social dynamic. The songs sound cool with me on them. And, you know, we were demoing new stuff at the same time too, which ended up becoming our EP that came out last year, the little 2-song thing that we put out. Okay. And now it's full length time. That'll come out in less than 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah. That's incredible. Was it weird? Like, so when you joined the band, I mean, we talked a little bit about this in the beginning, like going in and now you're the singer of a band that was already had some notoriety a little bit. Were you having to sing those old songs in the beginning, or like, and now do you have enough, you can probably weed out and just play your own music? And was it different? Like, how does your style compare as far as writing style to the old singer? Or was that not even something you're thinking about? Just like, this is how I write songs and this is what they're going to sound like.
So I actually have a lot of fun singing the old songs. I think they're awesome songs. Okay. And that was like one thing we talked about. It was like, you know, how much new stuff do we want to play? How much old stuff? I was like, well, I actually want to play those because I think those songs bang. And
you said you enjoyed playing the old songs. As I said, like when you go into writing the EP, the couple song EP you put out and the new record, like when you're writing the songs or even having to sing the old songs, were you taking any of that? And like, were you just like, okay, these are my new songs. These are the songs. This is how they're going to go. Like not even really worrying about what the old guy did prior to that or how you fit within the band.
Yeah. So, going in with any new songs, I at first like was really like, concerned with like, making the band like still feel like it had the same identity. So like, I think initially I was getting like a little scared and like kind of writing like mm-hmm. that. But then Hosey and our drummer was like, hey man, just do your thing. Like we picked you because we like you. Just don't like, he was like, treat this as a new band that never existed before you. And I was cool. Okay.
So he kind of gave co-signed on the fact that you should just do what you did, and they wanted you for a reason, obviously.
Yeah. So I just took it and I ran with it and I did my own thing. And that, you know, so whenever the EP came out, I was like, yeah, I'm happy with this. This feels like me kind of thing. And especially on the new record, even like I know my style and kind of like what I like. And I'm like, yeah, I definitely was pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? I was pretty, shameless in just being like fully myself and like what I had done before, like with this band, but it's like a totally new coat of paint because this band doesn't sound like my old bands. And even that was like challenging and like, I had to definitely like kind of go in the trenches a little bit to make sure the songs came out like really good, that my performance was good, all that stuff.
When you're writing the record, like it sounds like, okay, you were in a band and then that band was kind of, you know, dissolving, so to speak. And then you joined this band like in the midst of COVID, right? You joined the band in 2020.
Yep.
Was that kind of a weird place to be? And like once you entered the band, like was stuff still kind of up in the air as far as like when you're going to even be able to play shows? And with that, is that when you go right into writing the couple songs that you put out last year?
Yeah, it was a little weird. You know, I joined the band, you know, the world is still not having shows at the point. So I'm kind of joining, not necessarily knowing what I'm going to get myself into. It is joining with the pretense that we will tour a lot in theory, right? And
right.
And from there, you know, we did the two songs, and that was like really just, I went down to Savannah. We tracked it with our friend Pat, who the band had like already like previously had a relationship. Like he tracked the last like couple releases the band had done. Mm-hmm. And then we sent that off to our producer, Randy, who now has done our whole full length. Like we went and recorded it with him and everything. But at that point, even like when we went and recorded the full length, I had never even played a show with the band.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, you know, the band gets a two song release with me on it. Can't go play shows with it at the time. And we're like, okay, judging by the internet, it seems like people like this. So we're going to go do our full length. We go to the studio. We're there for a month. And even still there, we're like, okay, we have shows booked. And we also like had our tour confirmed that we did, you know, back in this past November. Mm-hmm. Where like things are booked. In theory, we're gonna show up and there are gonna be shows that are played. but in a way, like that was kind of freeing, at least for me, and like kind of just where my head was at on writing mm-hmm. everything, because I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna put my whole ass into it and like really try and make the best thing I think I possibly can. There's a wasp. Run away. I fear everything that flies. I'm sorry.
it's all good.
If it has wings, I just not for me.
You're out.
birds, flies, wasps. I'm good. So I really just kind of put my whole self into it and was like, I don't know if I'll see any return on this. I don't know if anyone's going to care. And I don't know if I'll ever get to play it live. But I'm going to do it. And, I really think that like what came out because of that, I don't know if necessarily that mindset like made it like as awesome as I think the record is, but I definitely think it helped me because everyone was pretty stressed. It's a very stressful time trying to record a record, and right. that goes for like every member of the band, especially like, you know, like we write some like pretty technical stuff, and like when you're watching someone just try and nail this one little thing over and over and over again for hours, and it's just not happening, and you just you're watching them have an internal meltdown while trying to play it cool. I'm like, ugh, sucks.
Yeah, I could feel that for sure. I mean, the songs that you guys have put out are awesome. I really like it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It's really, really good. And tell me about the record. Like, were these lyrics and everything you had prior to going in and joining this band, were these songs that maybe would have landed somewhere else if you weren't asked to play with these guys, or is it all fresh?
A lot of it's pretty fresh. There are some things that are, I have, like, you know, in my notes app, I have just like random, like, things I've jotted down over time. Sometimes something just kind of comes to me and I just write it down real quick. No idea what it's going to be for later, but I'm just like, I like this as it is on its own. We'll come back to it kind of thing. It's all, and it's always just like 10 words tops maybe. So like some things like that definitely made it in, and I was able to, like, you know, really form like a fully thought out song from it. But for the most part, it was all pretty fresh. And at the time when we ever we were recording, I was also still working remote from my job at a car insurance company. So I was waking up and working at like 8 a.m. getting off at like 4, and then writing, and then like vocal session. So it was kind of like, you know, just a fever dream, because like I'm working this, you know, horrible job I hate, blah blah blah, while really I'm committing time theft and I'm writing while I'm working. And then, you know, after that's over, I still continue writing, then I go in for the vocal session, and it's like I'm doing this like every single day, one song at a time. And so there are some songs where it's like, yeah, maybe we finish half the song this day, come back in, we'll finish the other half tomorrow. Or sometimes I just get the whole song in one day and we're just like, all right, let's get on for it. And we get it all done. And at the end of the night, you know, it's like 1 a.m. and I'm like, how did I do all of this in one day? This sucks.
Yeah, no.
So by the time it was over, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it must have been a lot. I mean, to work a job of 8 hours and then get off and then try to go in a track. But I mean, it sounds like it paid off, and you guys are on the road now, which is huge.
Yeah, yeah. And this tour is amazing. You know, this is easily the biggest and best tour that we've ever done. And, you know, I'm very thankful to our headliner for being dope and bringing, you know, an awesome crowd, because, you know, we come into this and like we still feel like we're like a pretty small band, and like we maybe account for like 10% of the attendance, you know what I mean? Like, so to us, we're just like, wow, like we're able to like really get in front of people who just wouldn't find us, you know, on their own, or maybe wouldn't find us right now on their own. So, and that's awesome. And it just, it works out for us too, because the record's coming out while we're on this tour. So I'm just like, please buy it, you know?
Yeah. Shameless plug. Please buy it.
Please, like, if you care at all about this, like, please, I would love to have some money. That'd be awesome.
That's funny. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate your time.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. I know you have a show later, but I'm curious. So I want to let you rest up, especially after staying up all night trying to fix a window. But I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
My biggest piece of advice, especially as someone who is edging 30 in this, and only learning this now, you should detach yourself from any kind of monetary expectation about what's going to happen with your band or your ability to make money with it, and really just go full in on trying to make something that you really, really care about and really, really like. And even if that means just working on it for over a year and a half and not showing anyone, or at least not showing everyone, do that. Because I think now, in my own current experience, I'm seeing we, the whole band, we're all seeing more return when we just let go of it. And now things are actually starting to work for us, because it's just all of us and all of what we have. And people either take it or leave it, right? But like, but it feels like we're seeing more return than we ever did when we just let go of wanting it so bad. So just care about what you make and really like it. Really, really like it before you put it out. And put your heart in it, you know? Sounds kind of cliche, but I guess it's only cliche because it's true for so many people.